I have a couple of things that I would like to do before we start to share the word. I hope you are expectant to the getting the word today. I do believe I have a word for you.
Yes.
But there is two things I would like to do. And I told this story yesterday to the ministers, but I would like to honor another minister that I heard has been a minister in this church. I'd like to honor you in public, ma'am.
Amen.
Come, stand next to me.
Amen.
And come stand next to me. Is there a microphone or?
Yes.
I need to talk to you, ma'am.
I've got one right here.
Yeah.
This is the something that you wouldn't be aware of, which I'm now going to say. It is the 50th year of Reverend Wendy's ministry in this area. She's been a minister for more than that, but it was recorded this year. We had the newspapers involved, the press were involved. It was all sorts of, but it was a beautiful thing. So you're right on point, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
Where did it start, ma'am?
Where did it start? Well, I was at university and I was intending to be a music teacher. But one Sunday, I went with my friend on the bus to Llandudno. I was at Bangor University. That was her hometown. And I was going to have the day with her parents. But as we came off the bus and were getting very near the house, there was an English Presbyterian church. So I said, I'm going to go in here first. You can have some time with your parents, then I'll come and spend the rest of the day with you. And it was at that church, during an ordinary sermon, that I heard God call me with the words that I had to preach the gospel to men, women, and children. Fancy, one sentence out of a sermon. Now then, it was a shock, because when God speaks to you, you know inside you something's happening. But the last hymn on that day was, "Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand." And that was the hymn which was at the service when I gave my life to Christ. So I knew God had called me.
Thank you. Well, thank God bless you for staying in the ministry. And the next thing, and I have warned them already, I talked to the ministers yesterday, because when Inger and I was called to England, and that we learn English in high school, and our teachers speak very broken English. So our English was not very well. It has improved a little bit over the years, but then God sent us to Newcastle, to the Jories. I heard Americans and English people say, "Joe, you talk funny." But I mean, I'm not the only one, am I? But the reason I want to honor them as well, ma'am, is that when you have in your heart to minister somewhere, you will always be blessed with someone that helping you and stand with you in the ministry.
Yes.
I'm not going to cry. I am not going to cry, but I'm really honored that you, all four of you, are here. And you took us into your home, and you, all four of you, but no offense, but in particular, John and Judy, and that God has brought us together as friends. We just want to honor you. Thank you for helping us to get into the ministry in England. Give them a hand. You have your Bibles with you? I have in my heart to minister to ministers, and I believe that's include you. Even if you don't have a pulpit ministry, you have a ministry in the kingdom of God. It can be a helping ministry. It can be a street ministry. It can be helping other people, elderly people, just showing the love of God to other people. And it will bring an opportunity to share the gospel. So don't let, this is important for me to say, don't look down on yourself, for you think that your ministry is small. We are all important to God, and you are to Inger and I. So thank you for being here, and I hope I will be able, through the word, and encourage you a little bit this morning. And I must... You see, normally, I don't have a hard time to crack a joke. Sometimes too much. But, you know that for me or us as a Norwegian, I can recall from Newcastle, and the name Timothy. And I started and read it as Timothy until a certain man, a teacher in your church, said, I'm laughing every time you say, I will read from Timothy. I've learned it now, so I will read from Timothy. Okay? Open your Bibles, if you please, to the second epistle. And I would like to, by God's grace, to encourage you, because when Paul wrote this letter, he was 85 and he was looking at his departure into heaven. This is probably the last letter he wrote to his son in the faith. And it's quite interesting if I could leave this with you, because you can, if you read this, you can really sense the heart of Apostle Paul concerning this, his son in the faith, Timothy. Timothy, just to keep you awake. So let me read just a few verses down here. Let's start with chapter 1 and verse 2. This is the relationship we had with this young boy. If you're old, feel old, or you're young, age has nothing to do with ministry. This precious lady, even if the ministry changed, she's still in the ministry. So I'm blessed that she's here and continue. But okay, here it goes. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. That is, even to me as a Norwegian, that's a funny statement. I am mindful of your tears. But that was the only thing he said about tears. Going from there, I said, I know that you have a hard time. I know that you have trouble. I know that you have massive challenge being a pastor in the city that he was sent to because of all the religion that was there. And he was a young man. He was sent to this place to look after the church that Paul has planted. But I'm not sure. I am not talking negative about the Jews. Okay? I am, every time I have the time, I bless Israel and the Jews because it's God's people. And I really love what you said, Pastor, that the church started as a Jewish church. Well, back to Paul and Timothy. He sent him to this place where he should look after the church. Even as some scholarship said that he was not more than 16, 17 years, I don't know. I can't verify that, but he was a young man. And can you imagine, is it okay if I'm coming down to you? You have probably in your life and in your ministry, in your Christian life, been in a situation where tears has been a part of your feelings. No?
Yes.
It can be tears of joy. It can be tears of fear. It can be tears of sadness. But it's still tears. But then when Paul, Apostle Paul, wrote this letter to this young man, well, he wasn't young anymore, but he was young when he started. Because Paul said that this is the last letter and I'm heading toward the end of my days. And Paul died when he was 85. What he said, I am mindful of your tears. I'm mindful of your struggle. I'm mindful of your challenges. But that was the only thing he said about tears. It feels like I'm like, Timothy, shake it off. Because God in you. And I need to read the scripture here one more time. First of all, I missed one thing here. Are you aware of what the word peace stands for? He said, if I say to you, God's peace, that means that I want God's peace where nothing missing and nothing broken. So he by saying that, okay, I know you're crying, but God's peace, mercy, and grace. And let's read a little bit more. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. He went from talking about, say, I'm mindful of your tears, but what you have on the inside, I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the real, unfeigned is in sincere faith. I was looking up the dictionary, so unfeigned faith is the closest I came was sincere, pure. I thank God, and when I call to remembrance, unfeigned faith that is in you. And let me say, as a pastor, and a pastor for pastors, I am mindful of your tears, like your challenges in life, but you have inside of you the Holy Spirit, you're born again, and there is an unfeigned faith, a real sincere faith inside of you. How could you and I really grab hold of that and start to use it in everyday life when attack comes your way? If someone is talking negative about you, probably happened to just me. But anyway, And he said, I will remind you. When I start to study this in English, I want to remind you of the unfeigned faith that is in you. You can feel that sometimes you're down and out, but the faith is in there. And he says later on, stir it up. Stir up the faith that is in you. Instead of sitting there down and out, depressed and sad, shake it off. Start to activate the faith that is in you. The faith that can bring miracles to you and to your family and to people around you. And wherever you speak, there will be words of faith coming out of you. Have you ever heard that somebody is talking negative about you or to you? Well, shake it off. Because you know that Christ in you, the hope of glory, is in you. The Holy Spirit, the God-given power to do miracles. If you activate your faith, you don't have to be a famous evangelist or a pastor or a prophet, whatever. Suddenly you can talk to people and that word of wisdom is coming up. And why don't you dare to say, I have a word in my spirit I would like to share with you. And you will be surprised how often it is a bullseye.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
But it might cost you a little bit of yourself. Or I don't dare to. Already there, you need to correct your words. One thing is to be rude. But when you have in your heart, and I can say this absolutely 100% surety, is that when you have a God's word, if you have something according to the Bible, something encouraging, it will guaranteed be a word for a person in the right time. We have experiences many times. We can just sitting in a church and suddenly a word is coming up. And you go to a person and you say, I would like to, you see, I have this in my heart for you. And it's other people to judge you. You might be correct and they can be angry or whatever. But just to come to the point where you are a minister of the gospel and start to trust the Holy Spirit inside of you to do whatever you do. I know it's a negative example, but sometimes, not often, but it happened once in a while that you have in your heart to go over and give somebody a few pounds or hundreds of pounds, by the way, if you have it. But you can have that, this little soft voice saying, I wanted to bless this person. But I learned over the years as a minister, that one of the things that people really are longing for is somebody coming over to you, and maybe you give them a hug or you shake hands and say something positive from the Bible. Because we are the best God has in Wigan. That didn't go through, did it? Because when I say this, the first thing it hit is low self-confidence. If you start to say, I'm blessed, I'm prosperous because of God's grace, and I'm blessed to be a blessing to other people in this city, in this nation. Paul says to this young man, I remember your pure, unfeigned faith. And I can say, I'm not sure, the pastors here know that there is in you, even if you've never been on a platform and preached a gospel or taught the word, there is a word in there. Because if you're saved, the word is there. Yeah. And the reason why I so boldly say that is, pardon me if I'm getting excited here, but the first few scriptures in Genesis and in the gospel according to John is that God and he says the word was spoken. In Revelation 19:13, the Bible say, and his vesture was dipped in blood, and his name is Jesus. You know, see when you are able to, and when we talk to each other, I'm sure you have the ability to speak the word to many who have been encouraged of your spoken words. And here's another story. You know, Paul said, I know your family. I love this. He said, the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Louise, and in your mother, Eunice. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. But I am persuaded. That is a strong word in the English language. I'm absolutely convinced, I'm persuaded that the same faith is in you. It's just that we don't see an opportunity as a church, as ministers of the gospel, to start to use that. We have experienced a few times over the years that you can sit and listen to others, or you can just sit there, and suddenly you are reminded to go and say something or give something, an encouragement. You know that in England, 60 million people are longing to hear something good instead of that Manchester 1-0 yes. With a Norwegian manager, by the way. I'm not very much into football, but we know Solskjaer. Not, but we know all. But okay, so can you grasp what I'm saying to you now? I know that there is a real pure faith inside of you. Yes. The challenge is that we need to act on it. When you have this in your heart, in your mind, to do something, you have to activate that. It's not for the pastor to come. But I really would suggest that if you think it's too big, talk to the pastors. Just look for advice. Wherefore, verse 6, wherefore, I put... I'm sorry, this sunshine is bitter. The light is very divided here. Okay. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. You have your Bible there? You see, this is not what Job from Norway say. It's Apostle Paul to his son in the faith. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you. Putting on of my hands. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind. Dear Lord, we need a lot of sound mind. No, I'm not going to go into that. Dear Lord, I'm one of them. You know that you had to be aware of that it's not only Pastor Stephen or the leaders of this church who has what he's saying to Timothy. You have inside of you. Stir up the gift of God, which is... For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Being now, therefore, not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Have you, I don't feel it right to talk about Jesus now. But you will be led to the right person at the right time, and that silent, quiet voice coming up in your heart and say, talk about me. Or say something that can be positive and uplifting for somebody. Okay. Verse 7. This is probably... Is it okay for you that I take my jacket off?
Yes.
Do I have the permission, Pastor?
Absolutely.
I'm glad you didn't say no.
Whatever you want.
Thank you, Ingrid. The next thing that I preach, maybe every time I have an opportunity to share God's word, and that I will start here. And I preach it probably every time I have an opportunity, and I will share it with you. But God, if you are afraid of something, I said it to the ministers yesterday. We have a place in Norway. We haven't been there. Probably we need to go there sometime. In the fjords and up in the air, 1,800 feet, 600 meters, there is a tap on the mountain, and they call it the pulpit. I have that spirit of fear just to see people are standing out on the top of this pulpit, because I know that if they fall over, they will see eternity. Because if you land in the fjord after falling 600 meters, you're in trouble. But that is a fear that we naturally has been given by God when he gave birth to us. Driving down the motorway in 120 miles an hour, you should have a sense of spirit, of that fear. That is a natural warning sign God has given us. But there is a spirit of fear that is a spirit that is here to make you pull back or turn the wrong way or say the wrong things. So if you want to turn with me to the first chapter in the Bible, if you please. Genesis. I said to the pastors, the first chapter in the Bible, so you might find it. A few of you that... I want to use this because I can say boldly, this has been put on my heart by the Holy Spirit to preach and teach. And it started with we having a challenge in church that ended up we came back from England, actually, from Newcastle. And we experienced massive healings, God's hand, really massive blessing. Thank you. And then we came back and started to joyfully tell them about how awesome God is and what we have been going through of a positive things. And then the leadership in the church had a meeting while we were in Newcastle and said, well, because you experience healing, you can't be a pastor. You have to be an evangelist. To make a very long story short, we said that you have to repent from it or you have to find another church. I said, you can be in church, but you will not be in our leadership. But anyway, in this process, I started to... Do you believe pastors and preachers can have a challenge once in a while? Don't be offended now. But if you have a church with more than two members, you might have a challenge sometimes. I'm backing you up, sir. But anyway, that hit me and my wife so hard. But here again, I need to brag about my wife, because I went all the way down and I hit the floor hard time. I was not able, and I'm telling you because you might experience or have experienced, for 4 months, I couldn't pray. The only thing I said, Jesus, take care of me. Thank God for my wife who could lift me up and talk positive. But I was crying for 4 months when I went to bed, because I was so hurt and I was not prepared to handle it. I was not the one that I am now. You can say whatever you like to me now and it will not hurt me. But because of that, well, I have been working with drug addicts for 23 years. But I was on the way back home and I had a phone call. And this phone call was from Pastor James Jones in Missouri. He was our pastor for many years through ICFM. Really an awesome, loving pastor. And this is exactly, you think that you have to do a whole lot to encourage people? This was a phone call that lasted 30 seconds. I picked it up and I said, hello. And this is exactly word for word, and this is many years ago. Hello, Joe. It's James. I'm sitting in my office at the church, and I'm praying for Inger and you, and I just want to tell you that you are the best God hath and have where you're at right now. And I'll talk to you later. Bye. That was the turning point in our ministry, because somebody had an inner voice to make a phone call to me. You can say that pastors, well, you are gliding through life with a, you know, cloud of ease. No, we are living as people as well. But we have learned, should have learned, that there is a time where fellowship in church, having spiritual friends, and that if you are reminded about, listen to me, please, if you are reminded about something, buying some flowers or just make a phone call, not a big thing, but that might be just exactly what these people need. To get back on the feet, to get back with the Lord, because you stirred them up. You know, stir them up. Because you are able to do that. Because, I repeat myself, not because there is a problem here, but because I want to repeat it as much as possible. Because you have in your side the Holy Spirit. And there is a wisdom of God in that Holy Spirit. And you just need to listen to that soft voice, yes, of doing small things.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's turn to, if you would please, to the first chapter of Genesis. It's the same scripture in the beginning of John's gospel, but I would like to take it from here. And I want to tell you, it's burning in my heart to tell you who you are in Christ Jesus. Not who you are in the natural. We all have things that we need to work with. But you are not just flesh. You have a soul and you have a spirit. Amen. So here we go. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you are a Bible, really study the Bible here, and the word God here is plural. Is that the right way to put it? Plural?
Yes.
More than one?
Yeah.
I will come back to it. But verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Let me start with showing you the authority you have using God's name and God's word. There are Christians who need to clean their mouth from profane words. Sorry, true. I know that might be a job. But anyway, we are called to bless, not curse. And God here is plural. If you have your Bible, underline it and say, that's God the Father, God the Word, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. When he, in verse 26, I don't have the time to go through the whole chapter, even if I would like to. So go down to verse 26. God said, and it was. You agree with that?
Amen.
That's the Bible. God released the word, his word. And you remember I said that God's word, the vesture was dipped in blood, Jesus, and his name is God's word. And God said, let us, plural again. That means that God includes the word, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And then he says something that I'm stirred up every time I preach this. Because God says, God released his word. Let us, plural, Father, Son, Word, and the power. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. We are the only species that has the ability to speak words. Excuse me. You never heard a cat or a dog or an animal use words? Some, if they love the animal very much, they might hear it, but God said, if you think that I repeat myself because I'm not aware of it, but I am. I repeat myself for you to hear it as many times I would like to. Because this is you God is talking about. And God said, let us make man in our, plural, image. After our likeness, that means that you are created in the likeness of God the Father, God the Word, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. That's you. Don't talk negative about yourself because you are created in the image of God, the Word, and the power. You see, when you release words from the Bible and from your spirit, it's the Word that will create. God said, and it was. And when that word is released, the Holy Spirit, when you release a word that is according to the Bible, the Holy Spirit will take that word and bring it into existence, just like it did when God said, let there be light. Amen. And another thing that Christians have for many, many centuries learned that we need to be very humble. We had to be humble. Walking around with an excuse of being there. I'm sorry that I came. I'm sorry that, you know, I'm nothing. And you are created in the image of God the Father, God the Word, and God the Power. Amen. You need to realize who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You have the authority and you have the power to take this city. You know, there are so, if you hear, like in sport, how negative they talk to each other. I don't know about the football team in Vigen because I never seen it, but you know, sports and everything, every area of life, so they're criticizing each other. One thing is that we can talk about things that you might say or do wrong. But you have to be aware of what you say. The word that you released out your mouth can and will change this city. Because the word you release is the power of God. And that has nothing to do with preachers. It has to do with us as believers. And we have dominion, still 26. We have dominion over the fish and the sea or fowl of the air, over the cattle and all over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. I wish you could see by revelation how important you are. How important you are to God. And not in the least how important you are to this city, to your family.
Yes.
Because the tongue can kill and it can bring life. Yes. And particularly if you talk negative about yourself. I'm not talking about being balloon-headed or something. I'm talking about you realize who you are in Christ Jesus and who Christ Jesus is in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is in perspective of time, a short time before Jesus comes back. And we have a job. And the people working on this job is you and I. I mean, I wouldn't like if I meet you on the street and I grab you by the neck and squeeze and say, "Are you saved?" He'd probably smack my nose. I heard that. Okay. Do you understand how important you are to God?
Yes.
Do you understand how powerful you are with the word in your mouth and the spirit inside of you?
Thank you.
Okay. I don't have the time now. I try to scare people to say, I preach all the time, every time over 4 hours, so we still. And I'm lying, forgive me. Can you go to chapter 3 in Galatians? Chapter 3 in Galatians. I will take this and I will sum up. Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? You know, there is a lot of Christians who work and work and work and work because they think that that will bring me into heaven. Mm-mm. It's good to work. It's good to help in church. It's good to be a blessing to people around them, but that will not bring you into to the glory. It is your spirit. Okay, verse 5. No, verse 6. Sorry, 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham. So when you read about Abraham in the Bible, you can say, that's my family. Verse 13 and 14, if you please. Christ has redeemed us, redeemed you from the curse of the law. I would like to scream just to get it over to you. You are redeemed by grace, not law. It is because what Jesus did on a cross that we are redeemed. Amen. Okay, 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. 16. Now to Abraham and his seed, that's you, where promises made, he said not, and to the seed as of many, but as one, add to the seed which is Christ. We are in Christ. So, I'm not sure how long time I have been here, but I will try to land with just going to chapter 4, verse 22. I will give you this as a dessert. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, by one by the bondwoman, the other by the free woman. And we can see that we can start to think in a human term. But this is a picture of the two covenants. The bondwoman is a picture of the law. And the free woman is a picture of the Spirit. Amen. So, I mean, it's okay to follow the law of country or whatever, but you know, it's the law of the Spirit that you need to meditate on and live by, and that includes doing good works with people who needs it. Amen. Can I have an amen? And here comes the last scripture I will share with you. And that is 30. Nevertheless, you have to read the whole chapter to get the whole thing, right? I don't have time to do that. So just go through this chapter and you will have the whole perspective. But the words, nevertheless, what says the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heirs to the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but after the free. We are not children of the bondwoman, we are people of grace. Amen. Amen. We can mistakes, but if you make mistakes, We probably need to be faster to, Lord, sorry, forgive me. Or to the people we hurt, sorry, forgive me. But we are still living as a seed of the free woman, the grace, and not according to the law. You know, there's a lot of church people who are living by the law. And it's a really rough, tough life. We will never be able to fulfill the law. But we are saved by grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Did I do okay, ma'am? Thank you. Is there anyone who need prayer? If you